sowing in, just to pray over it and just show you what we do. And because I think that it's very important. I really want to thank those people who've been sowing during the meetings and who've been trading during the meetings as well. It's been great to see some of you doing that. What I would really love to do is if we can get you guys just to hold all this. Thank you, Lord. I just would really great if we just extend your hands out. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the sowing that has come from the hearts of these people and out of the lives of these men and women, Lord, that have come here and have sown freely and given gifts and offerings, Father, and laid them at your feet. Father, today we want to bring this by faith today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bring it onto the sea of glass. And today, Lord, as this finances has been sown, not only here, but over this weekend, Father, we bring it and we lay it before you. Father, we surrender it by faith today under the sea of glass. Father, we ask that the fire of God would come down over the top of it and would begin to burn it. Father, that it would begin to be consumed by your presence. Lord, that it would come before you as a sweet smelling fragrance in the name of Yeshua. Father, today we ask that this would be received. That Father, that in the realm of heaven, that seed would be given into the hand of Jesus. Lord, that he would begin to sow it on the earth. Lord, that seed would come, Father, into the lives of these men and women, Father, beyond what is possible and capable with what's been sown here tonight. Father, we want to bless the seed from these people. We bless them. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we ask for the angels of fire to come, that they would begin to ascend and descend upon the offering in the name of Jesus. Lord, that there would come testimony and witness in heaven, Father, of all that which has been done in the name of Jesus. Lord, that records would be written about what has been sown, Lord, that record keeping would begin to happen in the realm of heaven in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to receive this today at our hands. Lord, that you'd bless it, that it would multiply and become a blessing to the folks of the earth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not hard, but it's, sometimes it's just an act of choice to lay on the sea of glass. You want to say stuff or you want to, it's all good. Hallelujah. Where's my sister with the long hair? Where have you gone? Oh, there you are. Hiding. I don't know what your name is. You've got really long blonde hair, flowery dress, lady. Yeah, yeah. Would you like to come up here, please? Sorry, I don't know you from a bar of soap, so I didn't know your name. It's really great. Can you stand about there, then I can go back a bit. That'd be really great. You want to stand behind it, please? I'm just doing something that's called prophesying. Actually, when you were worshiping, the Lord began to show me a whole lot of stuff about your life, quite intimate details about your history and your family line. And one of the things, there's a number of things he showed me. The first one was that I saw a flowery diary, and it had a whole lot of writing in it. And there was one page in the diary that had a corner folded over. And I saw the Lord open the diary to that page, and then he read the page and smiled and looked at you, tore the page out of the diary, folded it up, and put it near his heart. The next thing I saw was in your genealogy line, somewhere, somehow, your seed is connected to the Hebrew line. I have no idea what your genealogy is, but I'm just saying what I saw. In the Bible, it talks about Ruth. Somehow, you are connected to that woman, either spiritually or involved in your family line somewhere. But what I felt is that when the Lord took this thing inside his heart, that you'd become a treasure because of some of the things you've had to walk through that have been recorded in a book about your life. And it was a great pleasing thing for the Lord to see that stuff. Because when I saw him look at you, I saw him smile, and it was like this, yeah, that's my girl. And he tucked it and stuck it inside here. And the Lord began to tell you that there's going to come time in your life when there's going to come a place of the deepest intimacy you've ever known with the presence of God that's going to shock you because of the desire of God for you more than what you have for Him. That your offerings in the way you worship, the way that you hold yourself and what you walk, I don't know anything about your life, but whatever. And so what you've had to walk through and the decisions you've had to make have become a fragrant offering and a memorial for Jesus, and Jesus is excessively happy with you. So you need to know that. So I'd like you to lift your hands so I can just pray for you. Father, I want to thank you today as a chancellor. Father, I thank you for the record of the testimony of this woman's life. Father, I ask today that in her ketubah, in that marriage contract that you have written for this woman, that page that you tore out, Father, would be added into that contract today. Father, today I thank you for the angels of the Lord that have been assigned to this woman to watch over her, to become a guardian and a protection to that which you desired her to walk. And Father, I ask today that you would begin to open up the gate over her life into the world of intimacy, Father, becoming one with your presence, Lord, that she'd come to know what it is to be in the dance floor and in the bridal chamber of your presence. Holy Spirit, today I lift my sister into the realm of your presence. And Father, I just release, Lord, your anointing over her life today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Doesn't that feel good? Hallelujah. Oh, I so love Jesus. He is just an absolute amazing freak. Hallelujah. I knew it would save you somehow. Hallelujah. Yes, that's called the Simpson anointing. I mean, Samson anointing. Yesterday, Mike asked me if I would teach on the seven spirits of God as part of the kind of conclusion to our meetings here, and I'm going to do that tonight. My journey with the seven spirits of God has been going on for years now, and many years ago, when I didn't really know very much about anything, I started teaching about the seven spirits of God, and I just about got stoned, because how can you talk to another spirit that's in heaven? And it was kind of a bit of a shocking thing for me to realize that people didn't know the stuff that I knew. And it's actually a surprise to me, because I was in a specific church that I thought knew all of the stuff. So there wouldn't be a problem, because I came to preach in that church that morning. And I said, it was really great this morning. I had a fantastic conversation with a spirit of knowledge. And I just carried on talking like it was normal to do that, because I didn't know that people couldn't, because no one had ever told me that they didn't. So I just do it. That's just what my life has been. And so I started some structured teaching about it, and then, as I say, I kind of ran into this trouble, and this is probably 12 years ago. And so I did, probably the last time I taught this was, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. I can't remember the last time I taught this thing. And so, but it's still very, very relevant and still very, very pertinent even for me today. You know, in the beginning of the conference, I shared about the spirit of wisdom, and what she's like and who she is. If you went here, get the CD from it. You'll need to, because you need to understand who she really is. And even then, I didn't really talk about what I think I really know about her. But anyway, and so I think that with these seven spirits of God, perhaps some of you have heard them called the seven flows of the Holy Spirit, or the seven Holy Spirits, or the sevenfold Holy Spirit. I can't find it in my Bible. I've gone into the Hebrew, and I've gone into the Greek, and I've gone into all the word related to what is written there. And when the Bible says seven spirits of God, it actually says seven spirits of God. And so my journey began to engage these beings, because I know that they were sentient administrators of the presence of God that were there to engage us in something. In Galatians 4:1, it says this, that a son, though he being Lord of all, that feels good, eh? Is under tutors, and that's right, I'm still seeing a whole lot of things. It's all good. There's just all these things going off in the kingdom world, and angels are going, yeah! But anyway, it's all good. Galatians 4:1, though a son, though being Lord of all, is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. And I began to realize that perhaps as a son, I needed to be tutored. Now, okay. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. That is what the Bible says. And that is exactly true. Who is the truth? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's going to lead us to Jesus, who is the truth. Yet we as Greek think the truth is, oh, he's going to tell us all about the Bible. Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. Jesus leads us to the Father. And then the Father presents us to the world. Right? So here is Jesus then, at his water baptism. You know, the heavens open, he goes down the water and he comes out, and the heavens open and this dove comes down, flick, 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 flick on his shoulder, and there's a voice that says, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased." It's called affirmation and confirmation of position, because he called him son. right? And so now we come to another situation, 3.5 years later, in Jesus' life, on our mountain. And this time the cloud comes down and other people there talking with him, and then there is a voice that comes out of heaven and says, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Now that is a totally different statement than this statement. This statement is, "This is my son, he's good, I'm pleased with him, and he's going to go about my business." This one is, "This is my son, I'm pleased with him, I'm promoting him into my business." He's now coming into ownership. Because the "hear ye him" means something like this. When he's saying, I'm saying. When he's doing, I'm doing. When he's moving, I'm moving, because he's my ambassador. It's a little bit more maturity than that. So I realize that Jesus went through a maturing process. And if Jesus went through a maturing process, then we had jolly well better go through a maturing process. Because I don't want Jesus, the Father, just to go, "Well done, son." I want to go, "Well done, son. You know, hey, I have an inheritance for you. And because you walked with me, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be a ruler over 1,000. Blow the 100, but..." Anyway, good rattle by night. Get the preacher's excitement. It's really interesting because the tutors and governors are also linked to the covenant of adoption and their teaching on the covenant of adoption. There's three major covenants you need to know about your life. One is the covenant of adoption. Another one is the covenant of promise. The other is the covenant of blood. You need to understand those three covenants so you understand the provision that God put in them for your life. If you don't understand them, you will walk provisionless in your life. And so the covenant of adoption is really interesting, because when they talk about adoption and the process and protocol related to kingdom, there's an understanding when Jesus said that you will be adopted or come into my family. We are adopted into the family of God, right? That's why he no longer calls us bastards, but calls us sons, okay? Excuse me for the word saying bastard, but it's in the Bible. The word bastard means a fatherless child, okay? So God doesn't call us a fatherless child anymore, because he has adopted us into his family. So let's talk about the way that a king would adopt a son into his family, because that's really what we're talking about. So in the old days, what would happen is that there would be a judge who would bring into court the scroll of the name of the person that was going to be adopted into the king's family. Right? And what he would do is he would take his name and have it on one side of the bench, and on the other side of the bench you'd have his new name. And so what would happen is he would come into court, and there would have to be 7 testators that were prepared to say, "Yes, we will train this son to engage the father's desire so that he can become a fully fledged son with a full knowledge of the kingdom." Once they said, "Yes, we will do this," each one of them had to come in and say, "Yes, we'll do this." When they came in, they signed underneath the new name as a testator to the new covenant. When all 7 had signed their names, what they would do is they would take, the Roman judge or the judge would take a damp rag. You'll remember in those days they never had acid in the ink. So on the parchments, which were scrolls of sheepskin, the ink would never be able to stay there once you wet it, because it would just be able to wipe off. And what he would do is he would take a damp rag and he'd begin to remove the record of his old life. Once it had been wiped from that parchment, there was no more record ever left of his old life. And then the son's new name was written and spoken to him, and he was received into the father's house to be trained. Though a son, being Lord of all, is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. The development in our maturity goes from technon to huios, baby, to maturity. At maturity, you can come into your inheritance and you're able to exercise invested authority in that inheritance. I will not go and buy my son a Lamborghini until I've ridden one man first. No. Because he can't handle the power and the responsibility of a car like that when he was 16. The same way as God is not going to give you responsibility in heaven when you're still sucking your thumb. That's why Paul says, hey, desire the sincere meat of the word. Don't just get milk all the time. Because meat makes you grow. See, meat means you're growing up in responsibility and the power of God can move through you in a greater way because you're getting a few more muscles than some little baby bum walking around the ground or crawling or trying to stand, you know. I don't know about you, but I love watching kids take their first step. It's like, it's amazing watching it happen. There were some of my children. But I don't give my baby the hot iron to iron some clothes with. I don't ask my baby to light the fire. I don't give it responsibility until it's been trained to handle measures of responsibility. And as it grows, we used to give our children responsibilities in the home. And until they learn to take responsibility, become responsible for those responsibilities, they wouldn't get any more. But they would never get any more power or any more authority or any more freedom either. See, and so once you come to maturity, you get given more freedom, more power, more authority to exercise dominion on behalf of the Father because actually you're being trained to do what He's doing. But I don't give that to my baby. But now my son is now, 20, going 21. He now drives around his own car and something's clicked in his brain. So he doesn't want the boy racing car anymore. He actually wants a normal car because it doesn't cost him so much in petrol. That's wisdom. See, growing in maturity. And you learn, called the hard school of knocks, you learn by your circumstances that you get involved in because you are the sum of every decision you've made. Usually a prince who's been given an inheritance to exercise invested authority at this stage still has to be trained to be given rights over responsibility in the king's governmental domain. So he starts to work with everybody that's around him until he gets mature enough to handle the responsibility of decisions that go wrong. Everything's about maturity. I hope you've got that over this weekend. Everything's about growing up and not being little babies anymore. One of the things that I know about the kingdom world is that sometimes it takes time to sow in the kingdom world before the reflection begins to manifest in the natural world. And so although we might know all power and know all things there, we can't necessarily put all things into practice down here. Because what happens in your growing and maturity in this world of the Father is that that expression begins to overflow down here until you take on the full image of as it is in heaven. And it's an overflow of your life experience up there. And everything, I don't just like people having spiritual experiences. I'm sorry, but spiritual experiences don't mean a hill of beans, except a lot of hot air. Having a spiritual experience doesn't mean to say you're mature. Just because you can flop around the ground and laugh all day, listen, and get drunk all the time, doesn't mean to say, in fact, it probably means you're more immature than most. Nothing wrong with it, but don't stay there. It's to unlock you, so you can deal with your junk. Just because somebody can do something or they say, oh, I had a vision one day and this happened to me and the vision was this and that and I had this spiritual experience. I had people come to me and try and be spiritual. Listen, I don't need you to be spiritual. I just need you to be normal. Because if your spirituality is normal, then you and I are on the same page. Because your spirit life kingdom should be normal and you should function like that. Often when people are really spiritual to me, I turn to their partner and go, tell me about his life. What's he like at home? Does he honor you? Does he nurture you? Does he look after you? Does he take care of you? Does he speak blessing over you? And she'll go, no, 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 no. Well, thank you for your spiritual information, but that's all it is. It's just information because it's not actually changing your life. Your spiritual experiences must change your life. Because all they are is just spiritual experiences. And then you become so spiritual, you know, earthly good. But I'm so spiritual, I'm no earthly good because I really am spiritual. But I'm also becoming very earthly good. That's why I have five businesses. Because it works out on the earth. It's about government. Isaiah 11, 1, 2, and 3 is a scripture we'll read very shortly. Let's just read Revelations 4, verse 5. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. I want you to see something here. It says, there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, not on the throne of God. It's really important, little semantics. So it means if something is before it, it means there's something sitting here and they're standing before the throne. So let's talk about the throne for a bit. Who's on the throne? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's God, isn't he? Right? So if God is sitting on the throne and there are seven spirits before the throne, it means that the seven spirits aren't the Holy Spirit, because the Father's sitting on the throne and the Holy Spirit's sitting on the throne. It doesn't say the Father, Son, and seven Holy Spirits. Let's read another one here. Revelation 5, verse 6. And these slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Wait a minute. How can seven spirits be sent when the Holy Spirit was sent? It's because they're not the Holy Spirit. See, the seven spirits of God go out looking to see who they can bring to maturity, and that's why they are the eyes of God. They go out looking to see where there's maturity that needs training. Sorry. They go out looking to see where there's immaturity that needs training. Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4 verse 10 is the same thing. The Spirit of God sent out into all the earth. You can just read some of the scriptures there. I'm just trying to pick things out here that would be quite pertinent for where we're going tonight. John, in the Bible it says this, and I bring you greetings from him who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits of God. Him who was and is to come, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the seven spirits of God. Now, for someone to bring a greeting from someone, they've got to know them first, or else they don't have the authority to bring them greetings from them. So it means that these men of old knew all about this stuff, but we just don't know about it because we haven't been taught about it. So here you've got this, one of these guys, I was struggling for the scripture, but I couldn't find it. You've got one of these guys saying, hey, I bring you greetings from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the seven spirits of God. In fact, actually, they bring you greetings as well. So it meant that he had to have a relationship with them to actually bring greetings from them, because he had engaged them to get the understanding that they even wanted to bring them greetings. Actually, it's really even weirder because he brings them greetings from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Actually, that's really, really weird because they should have been listening themselves. So he's actually talking to little babies who had no relationship. And he's saying, hey guys, there is a way of having a relationship here. Let's read Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Here is your seven spirits spoken about in very clear chronological order of what they were. Now the thing about the seven spirits of God is because they dwell before the throne, they always are testators to what the Father is doing. Okay? So what we have here is God comes and says to Noah, hey, I want you to build a box. And in that box, I'm going to put a gate, and I will shut that gate, and I want you to bring the animals through that gate so they can go back from where they came from in the first place and live there for 80 days. And I want you to take into that ark a lot of grain and seed for you and for them, so that when you actually come back out of the ark, you've got grain and seed to sow back into the earth that's now totally corrupted and messed up because nitrogen dies when it's been underwater for 80 days. And so what happens then is the flood comes and Noah does his thing, you know, the raven and the dove and the turtle dove and all that stuff. And then suddenly, oh, the boat's resting on the mountain. And when they open the canopy, and he opens a window on the top of the ark, he sees a rainbow with seven colors. God says to Noah, hey, dude, I ain't going to do this again, and here's the sign of my covenant. The seven colors were the testator and the testators to that covenant, signing their approval and signing their assent that they agree that God will not do this. And so you've got the seven colors of the rainbow, which are the seven spirits of God. A reflection of the government of God in the heavens. So every time I see a rainbow, I go, yeah, there's my boys. You know, I can give you the physics and the, what do you call it, the scientific reason why there's seven colors. Because light reflection, I'm going through a pyramidal refractive index thing creates the seven colors. splits them up. But you take all those seven and put them back, and they all go back to white light. So we are supposed to be an expression of seven colors to go back to white light. Without the seven colors, you'll never go back to white light. That's why you need them to train you, to mandate you, to equip you and do all of these things. So, and so when Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. He was talking about the first one of the seven spirits of God, because that's, that Spirit of the Lord teaches about the power and domain, authority and government of heaven. And that's what Jesus was fully displaying. We'll go through some of this a little bit more, because some of you are looking at me with left eyes twitching. It's all good. You know, you're powerful enough to make a decision. If you don't agree with me, that's great. That's not my problem. You just got to work it out with Jesus. So don't worry about it. The function of the seven spirits of God are to follow through with the instructions given by God to teach us about his kingdom, his purpose, and how to express those into the world that is around us. You know, when the Bible says in Revelation 5:6 that these having slain, having seven eyes, horns, which are the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth, how can you give something and send something out unless it's given purpose to be there? They've been mandated and authorized to do a job on the face of the earth. You and I are called as sent out ones from the Father. Jesus said, I do nothing but what I see the Father do. So we need to engage this world and bring it into reality. The purpose of the seven spirits of God are to empower you and I to establish the kingdom and express it through us as heirs of God in the world that needs an encounter with him. So my question then really came to this issue. What and who are these seven spirits of God? I can remember one of my encounters I had, the spirit of knowledge one day. Oh man, this was so many years ago now. I was engaging. Lord, I need knowledge, you know, understanding and all of this stuff. I need to know what goes on here. And I found myself in this paddock of grass. And this guy, this one of the seven spirits of God, said to me, pick a blade of grass. So I picked this blade of grass. And then he said to me, feel the knowledge of God in the blade of grass. And it was like the earth and the universe went, by the time I got there, I was freaked out. Going, ah! So I dropped the blade of grass. He was rolling on the floor in laughter. And he said to me, there was one blade of grass, son. Look at the paddock. He said, they also have a sense of humor. They're not just always serious. You know, but sometimes they do. I mean, when the spirit of might turns up, everything backs off. Like, yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir. Anything you want, sir. No, sir. When you hang around with them long enough, you're going to look like them. Won't need to go to the gym anymore. Glory. A while ago, I had the spirit of mind come at me when I was dealing with a dragon, and I needed some exercise, so I went after the thing. And the first time I've ever broken a neck of a dragon, it was the most amazing feeling. Anyway, there. Oh, there is the scripture I was looking for. Revelations 1:4, which was John. Let's look at Revelations 1:4 so I can just clarify what I said before about the guy bringing greeting. Revelations 1. And John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which was and is and which is to come, and from the seven spirits of God which are before his throne. I mean, he kind of says it very clearly there. And so let's look at these seven spirits of God, because we need to get to grips with what they do. Let's look at the first one, which is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is all about positional dominion. The Spirit of the Lord teaches us and enables us to experience and to see the reality of the dimension of the government of God. Teaches us about the throne room, about the power of authority and dominion, about sonship, about rulership, about transfiguration and translation. Teaches us about bringing divine order and divine government. It's really the Spirit of the Lord is the how-to spirit to engage the earth, to bring the earth into the knowledge of God. The Spirit of the Lord has anything to do with the glory of God. Sorry, has everything to do with the glory of God and the exercising of dominion on the earth. The Spirit of the Lord mandates us for position. Its color is red. Can somebody grab my little board out there for me? That'd be really great, please. Thank you. The next one. He's the spirit of wisdom. Solomon is a prime example of the full function of the spirit of wisdom. I call the spirit of wisdom the how-to spirit. She teaches us about prosperity, how to produce and how to equip people with joy and delight towards God in their service, in their natural life, and in their spirit life. She teaches us about how to judge and bring judgment out of justice. Teaches us how to exercise this justice from the throne realm of God to bring authority and divine order into all that was around us. Solomon brought absolute divine order into everything that was around him. So the first one here, remember I said before that, you know, everything for me is about the menorah. So the first one here is we have the Spirit of the Lord. His colors, red. The next one here is we have the Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom, where am I? The Spirit of Wisdom empowers us to be skillful and to be wise in mind, in word, in action, and in deed. The Spirit of Wisdom equips us for position. The next one is the Spirit of Understanding. Sorry, her colors, orange. The next one is the Spirit of Understanding. The Spirit of Understanding teaches us where to and how to access the realm of God. It teaches us about how to use what we have at the right time. It helps us to decipher revelation and visions. And the Spirit of Understanding instructs us. It teaches us how to perceive. It teaches about the others of the seven spirits of God, how to view information about God and the realms of God, and how to rule from those realms as a son. The Spirit of Understanding, all about the process of rulership. And so the Spirit of Understanding authorizes us for position. Its color is yellow. The next one is the Spirit of Counsel. The Spirit of Counsel empowers us and teaches us how to rule as a son. Teaches us how to access the counsels of God, how to consult with them, how to bring resolution to issues, and how to bring the advice of God to those around you. How to commune with God and to obtain the Father's advice. The Spirit of Counsel instructs us in the function of the different council chambers in heaven, the different roles of the courtrooms in heaven, about our role of the royal advisors and the chancellors in heaven, about our sonship, about the triunity of God and their role in rulership in our lives today. The Spirit of Counsel prepares us for position. The next one is the Spirit of Might. Sorry, counsel. Red, orange, green. The next one is, Spirit of Counsel. Spirit of Counsel is here. It's colors green. You get that? The next one is we have the Spirit of Might. I'm missing one here somewhere. Oh, look, I've missed a whole segment out here. Glory to Jesus. Forget the drawing. This is messed up. If you have the seven candlesticks, I've missed one here in the middle. Those two should be this way. So when you're drawing your menorah, it should go up there, and then up there, and this one goes on the side. So what happens when you're trying to do three things. I can't multitask it properly. Let's talk about the Spirit of Might. The Spirit of Might's color is blue. The Spirit of Might teaches us about strength and dominion, about absolute power, absolute authority, and absolute might. It teaches us how to exercise the spiritual realm and the supernatural realm of God through heaven into the earth. It reveals the power of God, the dominion of God, and how to exercise that power and dominion in the earth. It teaches us about the council chamber of war and the secrets of how to do war from the heavens into the earth and into the star system. It instructs us about our seats of rulership on the mountains. How to work and do the works that Jesus did and more. The Spirit of Might reveals us for position. The next one is the spirit of knowledge. So the spirit of might is blue. The spirit of knowledge color is indigo. The spirit of knowledge teaches us how to access the knowledge of God. How to apply that knowledge into our circumstances. It gives us access to the knowledge of the realms of God and our function as sons within those realms. It empowers us to become aware of the places of our rulership and how to rule when you are there. I mean, what do you do with a scepter? Well, you go and ask the spirit of knowledge. He will tell you. Yep, totally agree. By the way, you just need to understand the thunder and lightning isn't just thunder and lightning. Sorry, I wasn't here for 2 minutes. I'm just somewhere else. Thunder and lightning are very, very important things. Lightning, I believe, lightning is the closest thing to light that you can get outside of the sun. Okay? It burns, I don't know how many thousands of degrees. It melts sand and conforms sand into crystal. When it hits beach sand, it forms crystalline structure. Lightning, for me, is a glorified voice in fire. Speaking. That's what lightning is. Because you can see it. So you can see the voice speaking. Thunder is a bit different. Thunder is a glorified voice in fire. But you can't see it. You see what it does through the lightning. Also with lightning, I believe there's angelic activity that starts going on. Because they come through the light and it opens up a doorway in the kingdom world. I never just treat thunder and lightning as thunder and lightning. I love it. I absolutely love it. One of the reasons I really love it is I've actually been hit by lightning. I'm serious. I was hit by lightning. On top of my building, one of my workplaces in my building, and it was raining and the gutters were blocked, so I got on top of the building to go and empty out the gutter. And then I felt everything on my back and my hair all stood on end and looked up and there was this bolt of light probably from that wall there to that wall there coming straight for me. And it hit me. Whoom. When it hit me, everything went. The first time I'd ever physically been in the spirit world. The Lord shifted me out of this reality into the other one so the devil couldn't kill me. It did $76,000 worth of damage in my building. Killed all the electronics. They had lightning coming out of the speakers onto the concourse inside the building. Fried all our stuff inside the building. We had to replace our stereos and our sound systems and all the electronics inside our, and the plant room. It fried motors in the plant room. It just went in the whole building. Bah! And I'm sitting on top of the building with bare feet. I'm the highest point on the building and I'm touching a ladder that goes all the way to the ground. Here we come again. And so what goes on here is that the Lord shifted me out of this reality and put me into another one. And it was at that stage that I realized that my physical body could move into the spirit world and come back again. And so I opened a whole lot of doors to me. My one of my sister manager comes through and goes, you're right there. I'm standing there going, I had to go and use a washing machine. But I was, so I really love it. And it means so much to me to have it happen when I was talking about specific things. So it's all good. The spirit of knowledge, where was I? The spirit of knowledge empowers us and teaches us what to do with what you know. It enables us to gain access to the knowledge of God about the supernatural world. It enables us to get access to the knowledge of God about the realms of God and how to operate in those realms and how to function there as a son. Not only does the spirit of knowledge reveal, but it also teaches us how to retain what we see, experience, and operate with, how to process it, how to store it, until it becomes permanent and has full capacity functioning through us. The spirit of knowledge also teaches us how to, in meditation, to receive divine insight in the circumstances to bring God's will to bear on the face of the earth. The spirit of knowledge empowers us for position. The last one, and its color is indigo. The last one is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Its color is violet. The Spirit of the Lord is not about being afraid of God, but rather an understanding of the awe, the wonder, the majesty, the might, the holiness, the purity of the Father Himself. So the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord empowers you to understand the dimensional shifts of those things around your life. It teaches us about the realms of holiness, about intimacy, about worship, about reverence and righteousness. It teaches us how to access and bring divine order and its application to the world that is around us. The Spirit of the fear of God brings accountability for position. Oh, glory to Jesus. Yeah, guys, it's all good. Sorry, I'm just really lost. I am absolutely fried. So let's just review these things here for a minute. Oh, my goodness. The Spirit of the Lord mandates us for a position, and its color is red. The Spirit of wisdom equips us for position, and its color is orange. The Spirit of understanding authorizes us for position, and its color is yellow. The Spirit of counsel prepares us for position, and its color is green. The Spirit of might reveals us for position, and its color is blue. The Spirit of knowledge empowers us for position, and its color is indigo. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord, which I didn't talk about, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord seals us for position, and its color is violet. The primary purpose of the seven spirits of God are to teach us, to instruct us in the things pertaining to the realms of the kingdom of the Father, to present us to the court of the King as a mature, mandated son. Once this happens, then the king can release us to reveal us in his kingdom on the earth. That's what the word says. In those that day who will be revealed, I'm really struggling here. This is me drunk, by the way. Holy Spirit, I'm not even going to quote the scripture because it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have taught on it. Get the CD. You see, there is a scripture that goes something like this, that in that day they'll come and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you and the Gentiles will come admire His presence in you. There's a scripture that refers to that. I can't quite remember where it is. It talks about how the Gentiles will come and admire the presence of God that is in you, where God's going to reveal us. When the Father glorified Jesus on the mountain and set him in place, there was a full revealing of the full nature and stature of the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. He was revealed in what? White light. Until you have the full authorization of the seven spirits of God over your life, you will never be revealed in white light. You will only ever see the light. You'll never be the light. And so I know that God is wanting us all to come into translation, which is where your cells of your body begin to vibrate so much with the presence of God, and the engagement with the seven spirits of God is fully mentored around your life so that you come into being a being of white light again. If it happened to Jesus, I'm telling you now, it's going to happen to us. The potential for what Jesus gave us when he was on that mountain. The Bible says this. There's two mountains in the Bible that you can move. One is the mountain of sin. If you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt, it shall be done unto you. That's about issues and junk in your life. There's another mountain where it says this. If you say to that mountain, which was actually Jesus made the statement after his transfiguration, And he's saying, if you say to that mountain, come here and do not doubt, it shall be done for you. I don't know about you, but I've been speaking to that mountain, come here. Because I want what was on top of that mountain. And so the process of the seven spirits of God, the protocol for the seven spirits of God, is to bring us into maturity. I was really hoping it would turn and come this way, but it's gone out there, which is a real shame. But it's all good. Hallelujah. Yeah, I hope it does go in a big circle. Probably will do. Come right back round. Jesus learned how to operate and function to reveal the characteristic and traits of the nature of the kingdom in its fullness from his baptism all the way through to his transfiguration. And so, how do I access the seven spirits of God? Because that's a question everybody wants to know. How do I access this? Let's just get this straight. The seven spirits of God are not omnipresent, but the classroom of training is omnipresent. You can go to the classroom anywhere, any place, and you can engage it. The thing that I really loved about going through what I was going through when I was engaging the seven spirits of God and learning how to function as a son and beginning to engage some of these things about the revelatory world of the Father and do all that stuff is there wasn't anybody else around. So I had them all to myself for about 5 years. Then I had other people starting to go, then I didn't have them to myself anymore, which was a real shame because I didn't have one-on-one instruction. And so I generally, what I try and do is find time when they're not occupied training a classroom. And usually that's when most people are asleep. So that's where I go sometimes at night. I go on journeys and do stuff and I get shown stuff and I get taught about stuff and blah, 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 blah. I don't believe I'm mature yet, but oh my goodness, I know I'm down the pathway. And I love being around the seven spirits of God. I can remember engaging the spirit of might. Like I set my heart for about 3 months to engage the spirit of might. I would begin to pray, Father, I thank you for the spirit of might, for its instruction, its engagement in the kingdom world, that that government would begin to flow over my life, that the whole world of the government, Lord, would begin to swirl around me. I'd give myself to be tutored by the spirit of might in the name of Jesus. And I was praying one day, and I was in my room, and everything in my room went really, really still. And I was like, man, this is really weird. So I had my eyes closed, because I wasn't seeing anything. And so it went really, really still in my room. And I carried on praying, and I suddenly became aware that somebody else was in my room. I thought my wife had come into my prayer room. So I opened my eyes, and I turned around, and there's this being was about 8 foot high, 8 foot wide, 5 foot thick. You know the block man? Well, like the Hulk, you know, the incredible bulk, I mean Hulk. Well, it makes him look sick. And he was just bright blue, just looking at me. And I'm going, who are you? And he says, well, you've been talking to me. What do you expect me to do? I'm going like, freak me out. You know, wet pants, washing, I mean, whatever. And so, but what the spirit of mind has done for me is he's brought me into a position about understanding authority like I've never understood it in my life. It's not about what you say, it's about who you are. Everything to do with the kingdom is about who you are. And once you engage them, they're empowered you to become who you really are. And when you become who you really are, then the whole of the world and the demonic kingdom and the structures in heaven and all of the galaxies look at you because they know who you are as well, because they can see who you are, because you're out there, you're a being of white light. And they know the measure of your government by what is displayed on your life because of your engagement with the seven spirits of God who have tutored you into the kingdom world of the Father. So people say to me, oh, well, give me other scriptural examples of this here. Well, let's look at Queen Esther, shall we? Queen Esther was given 7 choice maidens of the household of the king to train her for 1 year about the court of the king. I just thought you might like to know that. It's actually in other places in the Bible. So my issue is this. You need to begin to engage the seven spirits of God. We need to begin to engage them. We need to come under the tutelage of the seven spirits of God, that they would instruct us, teach us, and do all those other authorization, mandating, and equipping, and all of that stuff that's important, that you and I come to maturity. Their job is to mature us. There's going to come a day when the seven spirits of God's tutelage in your life is done. And they will present you to the Father as a fully fledged son, capable of rulership with the fullness of God's life flowing through you. In that day, the Father will present you to the world as a son in a glorified body. To me, that sounds good. If it happened to Jesus on the mountain, then I want it for me. If Jesus can do it, and he's the firstborn of many, then I want to go where the many are, and I want to be the first in the many. Maybe. Who knows? But all I know is this, that over, out of my engagement, a lot of the stuff I'm teaching and talking about here has come out of those engagements where they begin to instruct and teach me about the realms of the Father, about the kingdom worlds and how all that stuff functions. I've been on journeys with a spirit of knowledge outside of our little universe. Our universe is about that size in the world. Our universe. How is it 350 billion light years across or something like that? It's got 400 billion galaxies in it. In comparison, it's about that size in the atmosphere of the earth. See, we don't realize the responsibility we have to come to maturity. God is calling sons to maturity. People who can engage his kingdom and become the fullness of God to exercise authority on earth and in heaven. And all of creation is looking at you going, get your act together. I mean, let's stand on the feet. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for lightning and thunder. I mean, Father, thank you. Father, you've sent the seven spirits of God out into all the earth. They are the eyes of God going to and fro over the earth looking, Father, for the witness of the sons of God to be mandated and authorized that the Father can reveal them on the earth. Father, I want to thank you today for these men and women. That, Lord, that this thing would not become such a hard, burdensome thing to do, but a joy in yieldedness to the desire of the Father to become a mature son. Father, today I want to say again, I yield to the tutelage of the government of the seven spirits of God. Lord, we are under tutors and governors, and I yield to the tutelage of the seven spirits of God. Lord, that they would bring me to a greater awareness of the dimensional realm of my Father. Lord, that they would become an expression through me of that realm's world flowing through me, out of me, to me, and from me, and about me. Father, that we would come into the full maturity and the full knowledge of God as a son able to exercise dominion on behalf of the Father. Lord, I thank you that you are bringing mature sons to bear on the face of the earth. Lord, I ask for your witness in heaven that this thing would be seen and that the desire of these people, Father, would be heard and that the government of heaven would begin to bear down and that the seven spirits of God would begin to pay attention and come to these people to train, equip, and mandate them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I bless these people in the name of Yeshua. Father, I bless them with the knowledge of the word of the Lord. I bless them with supernatural insight into the kingdom. I bless their spirit with abundance that it would flow from them. Lord, that you would authorize and mandate and equip them, Father, to become all they need to be. Lord, that the scroll of the testimony would be unwrapped and unraveled, Father, that it would be able to be read and engaged. Lord, that they would come into the fullness of the expression of God on the earth. Father, most of all, you'll bring us into unity with the beloved Son, Jesus. Lord, we bless you today. We thank you for your work that you've done in our life. Lord, we ask for your grace to flow over us and to flow through us and to flow about us in the name of Jesus. Amen.